following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The show has been airing for more than 20 years, and it wouldn't be possible without our local radio affiliates. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area, and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program, inviting you to contact us with comments or show ideas. The email address is studio@voicesofmontana.com. You know, you gotta kind of love this saying, you can't retire from being great. Don't know who put that out there. It's actually an unknown quote out there. But on Friday, we talked with retiring Chuck Rohde of the F.H. Stoltz Lumber Company, retiring after 40 years in the timber industry. The public and law enforcement has also had the good fortune of having Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh keeping the peace for over 40 years. And that is an awful lot of world-famous Miles City bucking horse sales. Today, we're going to say thanks and chat with Sheriff Tony Harbaugh on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, look on the bright side. It's Tom Schultz.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Where does that come from?
That's National Look on the Bright Side Day.
Oh, well, we do that every day around here as much
exactly.
as we can. Yeah, Josh, thank you. Appreciate that. How are your Mother's Lemons bars, by the way?
As far as I know, you'll have to ask Mr. Harbaugh, but they're pretty good from what I hear over there at the Custer County Sheriff's Department.
All right. Let's just welcome Tony Harbaugh here and get going with it, because appreciate him being on and all those years of service here, Voices of Montana, with Sheriff Tony Harbaugh today. Tony, how's it going?
Good, Tom. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Born and raised. Were you kind of born to be a Montana lawman, do you think?
Well, it was going to be one extreme or the other, probably.
I read a story somewhere where you actually you played basketball over Miles City Community College. That's pretty cool. You're 6'6", big guy. You got this voice that would scare the heck out of anybody, I think, Tony. I mean, it just kind of...
Everyone but my kids.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. It just seems to command some respect. But your first job, I think, out of high school, you said, was like a car salesman, and that didn't work out. Talk about, you know, growing up in Jordan and in the Miles City area, and then walking into that office, and we have to talk about who you took over for as well, Sheriff Dan, because he was there for about 20 years as well.
Yeah, I finished college. I moved to Iowa for several months. Worked for a company building log houses, had never experienced the humidity of the Midwest. By late in 1977, I think late November, early December, I was itching pretty much to get back to Montana. So, yeah, then I took that job selling cars, which was the first option I came across. I think at that time, back in 77, maybe having 10 to 15 units on the car lot for sale was pretty heavy inventory. I made $50 per used car and $100 per new car. So it didn't take long for me to figure out that I was going to need to invent something like ramen noodles, because that was before they were around.
I would have starved selling cars myself.
Did I lose you, Tom?
No, we're here. Yep. You got us? Tony, Sheriff Harbaugh.
There.
Okay.
Something going wrong with one phone or the other here.
Oh, you see, you're not even out of the office yet and things are falling apart.
Anyway, I sold cars for several months, ended up selling a used vehicle to a deputy sheriff that was leaving Miles City. And he suggested that if I was interested, maybe I should go down and talk to the legendary Bill Dam, who was a longtime sheriff here in Custer County. I did that, went down, visited with the sheriff. Probably one of the shorter job interviews that anyone has ever had. It was two questions. First question was, can you take care of yourself when the fight breaks out? And the second question was, when can you start?
So the first answer was yes then, right? When?
I told him if I couldn't take care of myself, I could run pretty fast if I was good.
Okay. I was going to ask, when did you find that out? When did you find out that you probably could take care of yourself in a fight?
I was a country kid growing up. I have two brothers. We were kind of a rough and tumble bunch. I grew up on the ranch east of Jordan. My older sister was probably the first one to beat me up numerous times growing up. But all of us grew up in a great big playground that was, I don't know, 50,000 acres, I guess.
Yeah.
And so we got our bumps and scratches and bruises, and you just grow up. Understanding that scars heal and you move on.
Yeah. You learn how to take care of yourself in that regard too. I'm curious about your basketball career. At 6'6", playing, you were probably the coach had you pegged from a long time coming when playing basketball in Jordan, Montana, because I don't think there's too many folks out there with broad shoulders and 6'6" in Garfield County.
Well. The rest of the story is that longtime Sacred Heart coach Dan Connors had just moved to Miles Community College as the head coach, and of course Jordan and Sacred Heart had a longstanding rivalry, and I got the great opportunity to be on a Jordan basketball team that beat the Shamrocks. While I was in high school, and I think that always stuck with Dan because he reminded me of it quite often when I came in to play basketball for him here in Miles City.
Well, and that's just some of the background. Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh, he is set to retire here. I think it's officially tomorrow, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, tomorrow's my last day.
Wow. We got a lot to go before we get to that. It's got to be an emotional ride. Talked with Chuck Rohde on Friday, and he talked about it being bittersweet. But I'm still curious about those early days when Sheriff William Dam, as you said, Bill Dam, he had been there, according to something I had read, since 1966 until 1985, and that's when I believe you took over there. But what was it like being raised up in law enforcement with Bill Dam?
Well, Bill had actually been in the sheriff's office since, I think, 1954 or 55. He became sheriff in 66. Bill was the consummate cowboy sheriff. He was highly respected, not just within the county, but across the state of Montana and even around the western United States. He had a lot of folks that knew him, a lot of folks that respected him. He was one of those guys that, as sheriff, he spoke quietly, but he had just a wealth of information. I could not have asked for a better mentor.
And how did he encourage you to be your own kind of sheriff or your own kind of law enforcement man?
Well, most of his advice was in real short snippets. He appointed me under sheriff in 1981. He encouraged me to get involved in learning the budget, learning how the sheriff's office operated. But he also taught me a great deal about investigations, about really being a leader, and I think the most important of those are ones that stuck with me, in how you treat people.
I remember we had chatted about a year ago and talked a little bit about how years ago you sort of took care of business in a different way. And today it is, it's not the same as it was back. And I think everybody can accept that fact, the late 60s, early 70s. What do you think that, and this comes from left field, Tony, just chatting here. What do you think Sheriff Bill Dam would say about today's law enforcement?
Well, I can tell you that there'd be a lot of bleeps in his response to that. But Bill was old school. He he knew that things that were acceptable in his era were changing. You know, that generation of sheriffs, if you will, they didn't embrace much of the change that was coming, and they knew that it was happening all around. And I think Bill would absolutely say it would have been much, much harder for him to be sheriff in the era that has transpired since he's been gone.
You have transitioned through that.
Well, I've tried, Tom.
Right. How what has helped you then? You know, growing up in Garfield County, and a lot of us can identify with that. A lot of us grew up in Montana, and then we get into the work world, and those values they carry on. But things have changed in a lot of ways. I guess we could go down a list and talk about them. I think one of them is that there's a lot of oversight and a lot of pressure on law enforcement officers nowadays. And in the past, if you could, you would, you know, sit down. If you saw somebody, whatever, breaking the law, you had a chance to have a chat with them. You had a chance to look them in the eye because you knew that was your neighbor's son or your neighbor's daughter or something, or even your neighbor to that point. Can you still do that? What is that missing then if you can't?
I don't think it's totally missing, but we live in a very litigious society anymore, and so officers have to make sure, I think, when they reach that opportunity to use some discretion within the parameters of their job, that, you know, sitting someone down and having that conversation maybe just prior to the offense occurring is the best that you can hope for. I'll use this example. You know, in the old days, if someone was maybe a little intoxicated and needed a ride home, the officer took them home. I'm not saying he allowed them to drive, stopped them, and took them home. I'm saying that, you know, maybe he saw them prior to driving. But in today's world, if that individual decided, you know what, I'm going to go back and get in my car and drive it home because the officer gave me a ride home and I don't want to leave my car out, or for whatever reason, and something bad happens, the officer is going to be, you know, in the middle of that lawsuit. His agency will be in the middle of the lawsuits. So it just takes a lot more contemplation by officers, I think, as to what you have to play out all of the possibilities.
Yeah, and there, it seems like, so we're playing it by the book, and that book has just gotten bigger and bigger, hasn't it?
Oh, man, it truly has.
Yeah. The that process in and of itself, I think, is interesting. Well, we're going to run out of time before we kind of get into it, but talk about how that has transpired in terms of we're just trying to be so super safe in our society that we seem to codify the fun out of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that, Tom. You know, you end up almost having to be a man of many practices, if you will. In other words, you almost have to be an attorney. You almost need to be a counselor. You almost need to be have some medical expertise. And it has become a wider variety of knowledge that officers must obtain today than it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, a continuous process. Hey, stand by. I appreciate you being here. Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh is with us. We'll talk about those 40 years at the Bucking Horse Sale, among other places. And we'll say it again. You can't retire from being great. Back with more here from Montana for Montana. This is Voices of Montana. 40-plus years protecting the peace in Garfield County, in Custer County, in eastern Montana. Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh is with us. Tom Schultz alongside here with Voices of Montana. You know, we kind of talk tongue-in-cheek about the bucking horse sale or even the Freeman standoff, but being a law enforcement officer, Sheriff Harbaugh, can be dangerous at times. How did you manage the danger and still not take that home to the family?
Well, Tom, I guess you learn to compartmentalize, and you start out when your shift begins by getting in your uniform, getting in your patrol car, and you have to also get into a different mindset. But I think for all officers, at the end of that shift, you want to try and leave as much of that at work as you can. And law enforcement is very hard on families. It's hard on marriages. It can be really difficult for officers to be able to make that transition from the end of the shift to going home.
Yeah, you got to have a strong partner in that.
You do.
Yeah.
You absolutely do. And I'm fortunate that I do have.
Yeah. God bless them. I'm curious about, people probably ask when you look back, when we talk about danger, what was maybe some of the diciest situations you've been shot at? Have you been run over? Have you been cold cocked, Sheriff?
Everything but being run over, I guess I've avoided that one. But we had an incident years ago where a couple of 15-year-old girls that were in a reformatory setting in Wyoming actually escaped, stole the vehicle, drove to Montana, ended up coming down the interstate. And they found a rifle and a handgun both in the pickup, and they fired over 150 rounds at us that night during the pursuit. They were in and out of Miles City. They got and came off the interstate, even though we tried to block them from coming into town. But I was so proud of everybody that was involved that night that not a single round was fired back at them. And it did end safely. I've had over the course of my career a lot of armed confrontations, but with a couple 15-year-old girls, that was a new one for me.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, and then practicing that discretion. Great story there. There's another story. Miles City. It can be peaceful at times, but not in the news. But there were rather famous cases that came out of Miles City. One was, 1987 Miles City murder case. There's another one. Dewey Coleman was sentenced in Miles City for the murder of Peggy Harstad. Talk about when the spotlight is on, Sheriff, and those cases in particular. What comes to mind as you look back on those?
The high-profile cases are the most important points, I guess, in my career, Tom, from the standpoint that, to back up a little bit, we had a case here just before I came into the sheriff's office where Tom Moyer, a local cab driver, had been murdered by a young man here in Miles City. He was in jail. His name was Cody Schreiber. He was in jail when I started here in the sheriff's office. Dewey Coleman was actually in jail here at the time as well. I spent a lot of time, in the jail, handling those individuals, getting them back and forth to court. You get a real insight into human nature, I guess, when you're at arm's length with them day in and day out. The homicide of Marty Etchemendy, as you mentioned, in 1987 was another very high profile case. The Kills on Top brothers were individuals that spent a great deal of time in the jail. We handled them. We moved them back and forth to trials that were both held outside of Miles City. We had another high profile case with, the Wyman family at Kinsey. Carl Race was guilty of attacking an entire family there. He shot all of them, set their house on fire with them in it. Two of them actually survived. And I guess the most important thing for me to say about high-profile cases is I've been very fortunate in my career that we've put all of those people behind bars.
Yeah, there's a lot of it shakes the community, and the community looks to the sheriff's department for that stability, doesn't it?
Well, I think they expect justice, and I think that for my office to be able to assure folks that when bad things happen, that we're always going to be right there with them, and we law and justice is what it's all about in our business.
I bet there's a ton of stories that you could tell, and maybe quite a few you couldn't tell when it comes to the world famous bucking horse sales. We'll come on back and look through that, because very much a part of our Montana history and a part of Eastern Montana's history. And then there's also a story to tell when it came to the George Bush inauguration. You were involved in that. Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh retiring officially tomorrow, with our thanks for all those years of public service. Back with more in a bit. If you're headed to Billings, by the way, to do some exploring, businesses are open, great shopping here. Remember, though, be Montana aware. Keep residents and visitors safe and the businesses open. Learn more at visitbillings.com/COVID-19. Headlines, here's Brian Bennett.
This week, a second round of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines will target healthcare workers at rural hospitals and staff in Montana and residents of nearly 300 nursing homes and assisted long-term care facilities in the state. The doses will be provided directly to participating pharmacies to administer. Montana's unemployment rate continued to decline in November to 4.9%, down from 5.9% in October. Total employment growth slowed to 797 in November, but remained much higher than the pace of the recovery after the 2008 recession, which averaged about 480 jobs per month. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear a case that came out of the 2016 arrest of Joshua Cooley by a Crow tribal law enforcement official on a U.S. highway, technically off Crow tribal lands, yet within reservation borders. Cooley, who is not a native, argued the tribal law enforcement didn't have authority to search his pickup when they found meth, firearms, and wads of cash. With Montana News Headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
40-plus years of lawmen in Montana, Eastern Montana in particular. Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh with us here on Voices of Montana. Want to get a text message in at 781-627-5483, or even a call at 866-627-5483. Let's talk about the story going back to Washington, D.C. I understand that you were less a lawman and more a veterinarian or a horsekeeper in that parade.
Well, that previous spring during the bucking horse sale, I always lead the parade and carry the colors, and Conrad Burns was in town. He had ridden with us in the parade, and he asked me if George Bush Jr. got elected, if I'd be interested in going back and doing the parade in D.C., and I said, yeah, absolutely. That sounded like an experience of a lifetime. So, yeah, as it transpired, we took, I think, 12 horses and riders, the Montana Long Riders, I think we ended up being dubbed. And myself and Tim Millett were kind of in charge of keeping the horses in order, and it was an incredible experience.
Well, and that probably doesn't tell the whole story, because you had to be a horse whisperer, I suppose. You had to wait in line. I think it was raining, wasn't it?
It was about 31 degrees and raining. So as it rained, it was freezing. We had to get into D.C., get the horses unloaded. They gave us, I think, 10 minutes to get the horses off the semi and get the truck out of there. We got everybody's horses ready. Some of the other folks with us were scheduled to be at events throughout the day. So from about 9 a.m. until about, I think it was 5:30 probably in the evening before we actually went into the staging area and began to move in the parade itself. And it was a long, cold, miserable day. But I'll tell you what, I know a lot of guys that, work on ranches that, go and do that kind of stuff every day, and I certainly understand, and that's what makes Montana and eastern Montana especially what it is that folks are willing to do those things every day. So for us, it was a one-day thing, and I'd have done it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, of course, being a lawman from Montana, you can't complain about the cold. What an honor, though. I mean, talk about that honor for you.
It was a lot of fun. We got more recognition as we rode down Pennsylvania Avenue. They had bleachers along the streets, and people would yell out to us, you know, where they were from in Montana as we rode by.
Oh, cool.
And it was just incredible.
Yeah, that's so cool. We've got more here. Do want to talk about some bucking horse sale stories here, and also a text message coming in talking about Leo Dutton, who's a longtime sheriff guy and a lawman out of Lewis and Clark County. So we'll get that and more here as we come on back with Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh today on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Honoring and acknowledging a career public service, Custer County Sheriff Tony Harbaugh, our guest today. He's closing the books on four decades of law enforcement tomorrow. And well, even the stars are lining up for a send-off for Sheriff Harbaugh. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The great conjunction, the Christmas star, Jupiter and Saturn. How did you manage that, Sheriff?
That's pure coincidence.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure somebody did that for you. Hey, again, I appreciate your time, and again, appreciate the public service there as well. It's hard to put into words, I think, what our law enforcement officers do for us, because they do it on a daily basis. And a lot of times, which is, I guess, the best peacekeeping, we don't know that they're there. But when we do know that they're there, it's because we need them there in a big way. As you look at all these calls for defunding the police and a man who's been in law enforcement for all those years, I suppose that – I know it's gonna twist you the wrong way, but what are your thoughts on that overall?
Well, I think there's a lot of misguided – folks that really believe that it doesn't take a law enforcement officer to deal with some of the individuals that are out on our streets in America. And, you know, the one thing that I've heard said is that, well, we'll have social workers and folks in that profession address those issues. But I guess I'll try to be as politically correct as possible, Tom, but when that individual that's bigger than I am is standing out there in the middle of the street with feces smeared all over him, he's buck naked, he's got a sword in one hand and a knife in the other, we already know that he has some very serious mental issues. But I don't think you will find a lot of those social workers that are going to go in on point. And they're certainly not going to do it for what a law enforcement officer gets paid. So I guess that's as carefully as I can say that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I want to talk about Leo Dutton a little bit. Got this text message. You are one of two experienced Montana sheriffs from Garfield County. How'd that happen? Tell me about Leo Dutton, the sheriff of Lewis and Clark County.
Well, Leo and I actually grew up on opposite sides of Jordan. He came from the west side of Jordan, a little suburb called Sand Springs, and I actually grew up east of Jordan. Leo and I went to high school together in Jordan, and I love him like a brother. He is absolutely the guy that I go to when we need to share our deepest thoughts and concerns, Leo and I are able to call each other day or night.
Yeah, and that's what crosses my mind, those deepest thoughts and concerns, because it's I don't know, what's that conversation like to be a fly on the wall in that circumstance?
We usually start out giving each other a bunch of grief. we've done that our whole lives. Our parents were good friends. Both of our dads were pilots. They flew planes, and from the time we were kids, we've known each other. But there's a certain brotherhood within the ranks of all law enforcement, but of sheriffs particularly that I. I just can't stress enough how personal that is to be able to reach out to someone when maybe you're having one of those days, and you need somebody to talk you back off that ledge. and Leo is one of those guys for me.
Yeah. Bucking horse sales. There's a lot that can be said about the bucking horse sales, and this last year they were canceled, and man, that had to be a huge blow to the Miles City area. But as you look back, do people ask you some stories? Do they tell you, hey, Sheriff, you arrested me at the 1999 bucking horse sale? I can't thank you enough for that.
I've had some of that. I became a deputy sheriff 3 days before my first bucking horse sale. And of course, back in the 70s, the bucking horse sale was a little different event than it is now as far as making sure that everybody knew Miles City was the cow town of the West. A lot of folks worked really hard to make sure it lived up to that namesake year in and year out. And over the course of those years, it has changed somewhat. And I credit the local Board of Governors, Bucking Horse Sale Board of Governors, for adapting the event to what it is today from what it used to be. But over the course of my career, yeah, it's gone from early in my career, it was, we had fights, we had gun calls, we had a jail full of people. Our old jail, I think, held the capacity on it was like 12 or 14. And I remember a particular Saturday morning of bucking horse sale weekend where I think we had 58 prisoners in. There was some talk of maybe renting a semi with a bull rack to load them all on and maybe take them down the street so they could at least get to be in the parade, even if they couldn't see it.
That was serious talk, too, I presume. Yeah.
But just a lot of excitement, a lot of good experiences, a lot of less than good experiences. But I tell people, a lot of officers, both police and sheriff's officers in Miles City, Montana, sort of gauge their careers either by how many bucking horse sales they worked or how many of them they have left to work.
Jeez, I love that. Pat, stand by. I'm going to get to your question here. She's going to pick up a conversation point. But to finish up on the bucking horse sales, the whole concept, I think, was to go out and let people want to have a little bit of fun here and there. But obviously there's a line that they cross. Go ahead. I mean, I guess the question, yeah.
My advice to my staff every year when we brief before bucking horse sale has always been, let people have as much fun as you can. They can't infringe on other people's ability to have fun, however. And we've been pretty fortunate over the years. We've had overall pretty good success. When you mentioned the fact about arresting people, I have one case in particular that kind of came to mind when you said that. Years and years ago this occurred, but typically on Friday night, I go home a little earlier than the rest of my troops do in order to be able to get up, get my horses ready, get going for the parade on Saturday morning. So Friday night, I usually go home by midnight or 1 o'clock. And many years ago, I get a call from my officers at the jail saying, hey, you know, we've got a guy here that we're booking into jail, and he says we can't put him in jail because he's a relative of yours. And as it turned out, I asked him, you know, what's the guy's name? Well, it was a name I'd never heard of. So I said, you know, put him in jail, which I would have said had I known his name. But I said, you know, that really doesn't have much credibility to try and use my name to get out of jail. The following day, the parade's over. I'm back at the event, and this individual walks up to me, and he is really mad. He was the guy who had to go to jail, and he dropped my name, and it didn't do him any good. So I asked him. I said, "So you told my people you're my relative?" And he said, "Well, I am." And I said, "Have I ever met you before?" And he said, "No, not to my knowledge." And I said, "Well, what makes you think that would get you out of jail?" And he said, "Well, you know, isn't that the way it works here? That, you know, that if you know somebody that's the sheriff, you should be able to get it waived off." And so I politely explained to him that wasn't how it worked. Later that week, I had to call my mom, and yeah, he was a distant relative that I had no knowledge of at all. But it kind of stuck in my memory, I guess.
Well, every time I get in a pickle, I always drop your name, but
okay.
It's never done me any good either. So
there you go. Yeah. It might get you more time.
Listening on KCAP 950 AM in Helena. It's good to hear from you, Pat. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Well, I liked hearing a. It was my question, and then you asked the sheriff about it, and that was this defund the police is what we can put it as, I guess. And I thought that I learned a lot from his answer from the police side of this. But what I wanted to ask, you know, to carry it a little further, was regarding to law enforcement response to situations where there is a person who is obviously mentally having mental issues, and his ideas that no, we don't want to carve out a part of the police force and turn that over to people who are trained to deal with mentally ill, social work or whatever. Mm-hmm. I forget how he put it, but anyway, what I wanted to know was, how much training are officers receiving now in that category to deal with the mentally ill when there is a problem? And that's one. And then number two, has anything been proposed and nailed down to include more of this training, increase it for our present law enforcement groups?
A couple of good questions. Thanks, Pat. Tony?
Sure. The training is called critical incident training or critical incident stress training, and it has really evolved over the last several years now in that I think every officer has received a level of critical incident training. In other words, new and innovative ways to deal with mental issues that we're going to encounter on the streets. It has also become mandatory training in our law enforcement academy. So every new officer that is being trained at the Montana Law Enforcement Academy is also receiving a regimen of extensive training in critical incident and mental health issues. However, we as law enforcement officers still don't have the level of training that folks in the profession of mental health have, and please don't misunderstand me in that I don't believe it's necessary. I just don't believe that the process is conducive with defunding the police. I think that most of the folks who receive the urgent mental health care that is so badly needed has to come from the mental health community. But but it, I believe that oftentimes it comes a little bit later in the process, because if they are presenting as a danger to themselves or to other folks out there, that's when law enforcement needs to intervene on the front end.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think, too, the sad part about it is training is so necessary, but that's often one of the first things that goes when you talk about cutting the budget. We're going to be out of time here, Sheriff Harbaugh, just about 1 minute. So when you ride off into the sunset, are you riding north, south, east, or west?
Well, I live north of town, Tom. I guess in my closing comments, I'd absolutely like to wish everyone out there a Merry Christmas. 2020's been a really tough year.
Yeah.
I just hope that we can get the bug behind us, return to some level of normalcy, and that Montana can be Montana again without the issues of COVID-19. I heard this said a long, long time ago, and working with the people that I have through the course of my career, and Leo Dutton is absolutely comes first to mind for me. Sheriffs were not created to fit in. Sheriffs were created to stand out. And you have some of the finest sheriffs in the country right here in the state of Montana.
Thank you for the service. I don't think, as they say, you can't retire from greatness. So I bet we hear from Tony Harbaugh in the near future.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your service, Sheriff, and happy and healthy and long retirement.
Thank you.